Hey, everybody. Good evening. Good morning. Good day. Whatever time of the day it is that you guys are listening to this. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. Brother John, he's going to lead us in a little prayer real quick, and then we'll get started.
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, we just want to, as always, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about you and to grow our relationship with you and our knowledge of you, Father. We just ask that you allow us to open our minds and open our hearts and receive what it is that you have for us, and do not allow us to lie, Father, that we would be able to recognize the truth when we see it, Father. We just thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Man, so we already dropped episode one.
Yeah, it's really exciting, too. Yeah. Funny thing about that is I actually was off due to inclement weather.
Yeah.
When we dropped that. And yeah. I walked around my house cleaning, kind of working out stuff, and listened to the whole thing. I'd already heard it three times, but I listened to the whole thing again because it's kind of different hearing it when it's actually coming off the app, you know, and not off our little USB drives. But
yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
It was. And, you know, obviously it's episode one. We haven't had a huge following yet or whatever, but roughly 38 listens, 27 follows out of that. That's good. This by the time we drop this specific episode, it'll be episode four.
Yeah.
There were a few questions that came out of that. First of which is, why do we record so far in advance? Simply put,
life happens.
And this is not what we do for a living.
Yeah. So, to everybody out there, we tried to stockpile some because, you know, we work. This is kind of just a basically like a hobby for us right now.
Yeah.
And to record the day of would really be putting a strain on our family life, our work life, on everything. Yeah. I mean, you kind of look at that. If we tried to record Thursday and drop Thursday.
We're already putting a lot of effort into it, which is what we, you know, obviously we're committed to this, and we want to improve, and we want every time to get better and all that kind of stuff. Somebody asked if we were taking notes of our first conversation so we can continue those topics, and I'm like, no, it's going to be different every time. But if you want to know more, which is one of the things people asked, was more details, and like, look, more, if you want more details, you can ask.
Hit us up in the Q&A.
In the comments, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of interact with us a little bit. We'll definitely answer your questions. I would like to see more questions there.
Yeah, me too.
It would sure make life a lot easier trying to figure out what would be beneficial to some of the listeners.
Sure. Yeah, right now at this point we're talking about things that are going on with us and all that kind of stuff. And it's not about us, although it is at the same time. We want to help others.
Yeah, so we started this to kind of help you guys. And
right.
So the more interaction we have, the more we can kind of touch on the subjects that are really impactful to you. And
right. What's important to you is what's going to be important to us, and that you help us create content. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, never, ever would have thought I would be called a content creator.
Yeah. When that's funny, because when you say that, I think of something completely different.
I know, right? I think about like the Kardashians or something.
Yeah. That immediately my mind goes off into left field. And I'm thinking like all this. Do you remember like the, I've never seen an OnlyFans, but I remember the craze when it first came out. Like everybody was talking about OnlyFans, and I was like, "What is OnlyFans?"
From what I understand, it's for nothing good. So I don't mess with it.
It's for nothing good, but that's immediately what I thought of when you said content creator. I was like, "Oh wow!"
Yeah, we're not pornographers.
Yeah, no, not.
Nobody wants to see this anyway.
No, man. If I got on any kind of website to sell anything, it would be I don't know where can you sell like advertisements for construction. I mean, that's what I would be doing. I mean, that's,
I could sell you gray hairs.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of those coming in.
A whole bunch of those all over my face and all that. One of the questions was, you know, we want more details, and the way we kind of have structured this is that we want these conversations to be organic. Like we're just having a conversation, right? Yeah. And yes, we have some topics in mind and things like that, but sometimes those topics go by the wayside once the conversation gets going. You know what I mean? And you know, there's a lot of things that have happened, you know, in your life and my life that are going to come up. And sometimes you're not going to get the full breadth of the story.
It's happened a couple times, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
shoot. Episode three is 2 hours long, guys. Yeah.
Well, but before that, we recorded one episode that was supposed to be episode one.
Yes.
And we both looked at each other like, no.
Yeah.
But we recorded other stuff, too, just trying to get the feel of the equipment and everything. And in that recording, we would start on a subject and just, like, we tried to stay true to what we were trying to talk about. But,
Right. Boy,
we ventured off. We mean,
generally
it just
we
kept,
come
it
back,
just kept dominoing. And
right. Generally, you know, we come back to the topic, which is, I think that's how a good conversation happens, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like you go in this giant circle and you land back where you started.
Oh, yeah.
But in between, all the stuff that happens in between is where the meat of where all the answers are found, right? The last thing was, why do we call it Bumper Sticker Wisdom? And so I thought in the original first episode recording, we actually told the story of where Bumper Sticker Wisdom comes from. Well, I figured we should revisit it because we haven't done that since we decided to scrap that.
Yeah.
And it was our first day we were coming to record, actually.
Yeah, it actually was.
And
we just got all the stuff up. We were, like, going to record for real.
Yeah, real time.
We were going live.
Yep. And so what happened was I was on my way home and in traffic, which is where you're usually your mind's not right because there's a lot of nastiness going on out there. I was like 5 blocks from home and I rolled up behind this vehicle that had a bumper sticker in the window, which I guess technically it's not a bumper sticker at that point. But if you look at our profile picture on Spotify, that's the bumper sticker and it's a cross and in it says not perfect, just forgiven.
Yeah.
And while we were discussing that, that's what we were actually going to call this thing.
Yeah.
While we were discussing it, I said the words bumper sticker wisdom and it stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, exactly.
We really radiated towards that because it's like the thought of bumper sticker wisdom is about just really wisdom coming out of places you may not expect it.
Yeah. Left field, man. Left field.
Rolling down the road and boom, there it is.
Yeah. Or we talked about it last week. Me standing in the John in Denver.
Yep. Yeah. Man, I wish we'd have gotten a picture of that.
Yeah,
dude,
that was a
cool
good one too. And then, went to watch my buddy get baptized Sunday. And
yes, sir.
On the bottom of their little pamphlet said, none perfect, all forgiven. And it was just like, took me back to that, like, dang, man.
Yeah. It's I love it whenever God speaks through things, right?
Yeah.
And he really just reaffirms to me. Those are affirmations.
Yeah.
It's God talking to you in a way of trying to say, hey, you're right where I want you to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of times it doesn't feel like you are. A lot of times, look, I don't know about you, but I examine what's going on in my life. I examine my responses to things. I examine things that I'm doing. And a lot of times I'm like, man, I am so far from where I need to be.
I think that reigns true for everybody.
Sure.
If you are walking on a path where you're consistently trying to better yourself,
right,
you're always going to have that feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have that feeling you're not where you need to be.
Right.
But I think something to kind of bring hope to that, keep you on the positive side of that feeling, is just knowing that as long as you've made one step forward, you're always doing better.
Right.
And if you're consistently making a better you of yourself than you were the day before,
right,
then you're there.
Which is the
yeah, that's the, that was the
lipstick on the John wall.
Yeah. that was the coolest thing too, just of all the dark ink, fresh everything that was in there, that was just in there. Like, it almost looked like someone wrote it with number two pencil.
Right.
So faint, so faded, and it was just like.
But it looked like it had never been touched. Like,
yeah, no. Everybody apparently has given that thing the respect it deserves. They've never, everybody's writing over all the other stuff and all that good stuff, and that thing's just sitting there just clear as day.
Right. So, those were the kind of the questions that had come up through the listeners of episode one.
Yeah.
We don't, if you hear us talk about current event stuff, it's going to be 3 weeks later because I think we talked about football in episode three a little bit. And
yeah, that we talked about the college football playoff, Texas versus Washington.
Yeah.
And
the Detroit, Texas Cowboys and all
and
that.
And Broncos and yeah. Chargers game where Broncos let me down Sunday.
Yes, sir. Right. But everybody's going to hear that 3 weeks after the fact. So yeah. We're not current at all.
Yeah. But and a lot of that, too, is just so that we're going to continually try to make sure that we drop at least one episode a week.
Yes.
We actually talked about even having a bigger stockpile of recordings, but
yeah,
we kind of came to the agreement that after the first of the year, we would drop. And at that point, we had already had three.
Yes.
We had just recorded our third episode. Actually, our fourth, but we scrapped the very, very first one.
Yes. I still have it.
Yeah, just it was...
It went to the backside.
Yeah. So that's going to be one of them ones we'll release to the lost archives of the bumper sticker wisdom show.
There you go. So our goal, we discussed resolutions because we were right after the first of the year. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because the pastor at our church this last Sunday, I know you weren't there because you went to see a friend be baptized at a different church, yes, actually talked about resolutions, and he showed the definition of resolutions, and really resolutions is nothing but a goal.
Yeah.
What we've done as a society has made it something else, right?
Not like a promise.
Yeah, basically. And it's like, not what it is, right? Yeah. So our goal is to make sure that we drop 52 episodes this year.
Yeah.
One a week for 52 weeks.
Yeah.
So far, we're on four.
Barring any unfortunate events. We're set up to be able to make that happen for sure.
No reason not to.
Oh, absolutely not.
I have to shout out a bunch of people. I'm not going to say any names, obviously, but there are so many people that are involved with helping us try to grow it and believing in it. And, you know, we've got a very dear friend that's trying to design us a logo that we can trademark. And, she's a busy person, and she's got babies, and she's got an autistic child, and that's all you need in life right there. And
her plate is full.
Her plate is very full, and she's finding a way to add to her plate and out of love.
Kind of help us out. And
yep.
It's a very awesome thing.
Yeah. And then I've got another friend that I play guitar with that's going to help me write some intro music, so that way we don't have to pay for that. And, you know, it's good to have people in your corner to help.
Yeah, for sure.
So
a lot of that, too, man, I'm telling you, this is – I feel like it's kind of the blessing.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we're in this for the right reasons, and we're kind of our main focus has always been keeping it Christ-centered.
And yes, sir.
I think that is why we are being blessed with the help. And
yeah.
I mean, look, for us to release our first episode and what did it say? 35.
It was 38 plays.
38 plays.
27 followers.
27 followers. Yeah. And 39 plays to date, which I'm sure that was me listening to our demo about 14 freaking times. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, for us to be this fresh and already have that kind of listen, man, that's. It's awesome.
It's interestingly enough, I have obviously a lot of the people that have listened so far are people that we know.
Yes.
Clearly, which is, you know, whatever. People can say about that what they think or what they want. I don't care. I want you to hear what – I'm not going to say all the words that he said because this is some of them we have vowed we will not say on this show.
Yeah.
but I try to tell my – I've got five kids between – you know, my three sons and two daughters, and I try to tell them every morning, good morning, love you, have a great day, whatever.
Yeah.
And my middle son, I asked him if he had gotten a chance to listen to the podcast, and he said, I did. I thought it was awesome. It's because it's humble and it's honest, and it's not subject to the limitations because of the personal and religious views. the haters, F the haters. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like he's praising us for not being afraid to say what needs to be said. I heard from several people similar notions of just how they appreciate the honesty and the vulnerability that we're showing. Like, look, the one thing that we've talked about over and over and over again, especially as men, and if we can just motivate men to talk to people, talk to each other, to get this crap off your chest.
Yeah, get the cancer out of you, because man, that's what it turns into. If you sit on something for long enough, it basically turns to a cancer. It'll start eating you.
Yeah,
I mean, I've lived it time and time again.
Yeah, me too.
You know, it only takes, after you've been digesting it for so long, it only takes one little bitty thing to happen, and the next thing you know, it's
catastrophic.
It's
no longer an inconvenience. It's no longer just something in the back of your mind. It is the forefront of everything.
And it gets brought up and it gets thrown in some people's faces that you care about, and you're probably going to hurt some people's feelings, or you say some things out of haste that you don't mean. It's just it's bad. I mean, it's terrible for you.
So this week, I had something interesting to happen to me. Since it was the day before we released episode one. I had a car accident.
Yeah.
I was on the phone with you, actually, when it happened. And, which is interesting enough, I was not holding my phone. I had a headpiece on.
Yeah.
I was hands-free. I got rear-ended and on the highway, of all places, because the highway backs up at the interchange. Really easily at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
I had decelerated enough to where I wasn't going to hit the car in front of me. The car behind me did not, or the vehicle behind me did not. And it was terrifying. It wasn't, I'm not injured or anything like that. I didn't have any injuries. But what came out of that was, as soon as everybody found out that I had been struck by a commercial vehicle, everybody that I talked to.
Yeah.
Everybody. And look.
Flop. Start flopping.
Start flopping. Claim an injury. Tell them your neck hurts, your back hurts. All the, look. And listen, I want to make sure that you everybody understands. Like, I'm not saying I don't understand why you would say that.
Yeah.
Like, I get this world.
Yeah.
I do. But I have core values, and I'm really strong about them.
Yeah.
Right? And my three core values are honesty, integrity, and accountability. I don't think that's honest, and it's not integral. I know that for sure. Right. Yeah. Now, if I were actually injured, I would say I'm injured, but I wasn't. On top of that, my daughter flies up behind me on the highway because she basically follows me home and sees this, and she's freaked out already, and I can't be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she was freaking out. Dude, when she flew out of that car, she looked like my mother. I swear to God, dude. Yeah. The look on her face, like, I could see my mom, and I was like, I'm good. It's cool. You don't have to, you know, I'm good. So, you know, that's part of it. But a story came up that I hadn't thought about in decades. But for whatever reason, it opened up kind of a wound.
Yeah.
So a previous, probably 12-ish, I was around roughly 12. I think it was for my brother's graduation, my older brother. And here in Amarillo, there used to be a restaurant, high-end type restaurant called Marty's.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember that place.
It was not far from my house.
Yeah, it was right down here in the Georgia Shopping Center.
That's right. Well, no longer exists.
Yeah.
But it was like a high-end joint. And sometimes they would have entertainment there and all that kind of stuff. But anyhow, what I remember for sure is there was a lot of family. My grandparents were in town. His dad was here. My aunt was here. Aunt and uncle were here. All the kind of. Anyway, we went to this restaurant for dinner. And I remember them making me dress up and all that kind of stuff. Well, I went to the restroom. And when I came out, there was a $100 bill on the floor.
Ooh.
I picked it up and I turned it in. I gave it to the host. I said, hey, I found this. Somebody lost this. What else can I say?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I went to the table, And I told my mom what happened and what I did and the way she made me feel, like this big and this smart in front of all of my family, and all of my family made me feel just as bad.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, dude, I can't tell you that specific moment didn't change part of the course of who I am for a time. You know what I'm saying? There have been other situations since then where I chose to not do the right thing. Yeah. And it's just how much they made me feel like idiots. They made me feel dumb.
Yeah, but have you ever noticed when you when you don't do the right thing, how much more it hurts?
Yeah, for sure.
It does.
It's look,
kind of a...
So the situation notwithstanding, look, I understand. I just remember us all sitting around that table and them like, you're dumb. I'd have kept it. I'd have put it in my pocket.
Yeah.
Shame on them.
Back then, $100 was a lot, too. I mean, $100 ain't nothing now. $100 was like $10 back in the day. You know what I mean?
I could blow through a hundo pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
That's one meal.
Go eat one time. Take your wife to dinner one time.
Yeah.
That hundo's gone.
Yeah. So this was 92-ish.
Yeah.
So
I was 12 years old.
Yeah, I was 12. I was roughly 12. Yeah, you and I are the same age. Yeah. So anyhow, it's just I remember how that made me feel. And I remembered, look, I've got a separate story where I did the opposite. And a lot of bad things happened.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say karma, but there are consequences for the things that you choose to do. And ultimately, the first time when I turned that money in, guess what? I ended up getting the money anyway. 3 days later, it hadn't been claimed and I got the money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Separate situation. I rolled up to an ATM. Okay. Hold up. It was the middle of the night. I was there to get money for things that I shouldn't be there to get money for. Okay.
Yeah.
If I have to spell it, I will. Drogas.
Yeah. It's the I was trying to think of a little acronym for it.
Yeah. little narcotics.
Yeah.
Right.
That's.
So I was there to get money that I shouldn't be getting anyway. But when I rolled up, there was money in the slot. $250. I snatched and ran. That money went fast. And I mean, literally within 3 days, things just started happening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, blow a tire, alternator goes out. This happens. That happens. This happens over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, am I going to say that that's because I made that decision? I'm not saying that. But I find it very interesting that that's what happened.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to deny those events, though, too.
No. Look, I'm not saying. Oh, so I think if people are listening that are. Who know us are thinking like I'm thinking God's punishing me. I don't believe that one bit.
Yeah.
I believe there are consequences for the things that you choose to do.
Yeah.
If you want to call that karma, go right ahead. Yeah. I don't care what you call it. I call it a consequence.
Yeah.
When you make a bad decision, bad things happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you make a good decision, accountability. See, you know what I'm saying? Like my core values, I wasn't standing on those core values at that time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's through doing the wrong things that I learned what my core values are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So anyhow, I say all that to get to the point that I'm at now. Thank God I'm not who I used to be.
Yeah.
But it's, you never know. You never know what your response to somebody is going to do to that person and how it could change the course of their, look, this is people that I'm supposed to trust, right? This is people that they're who I'm supposed to model my life after. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm making you feel
stupid and smaller than a Smurf.
The size of a mustard seed.
Yeah. And it hurt, man. It hurt bad.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that I still carried that trauma with me, honestly.
Yeah.
Until I was talking about it the other day with my dad.
Yeah.
It actually brought a tear to my eye, man. I was like, dude, I hadn't thought about it in years. I've been with my wife long enough. I've told her just about everything, but this is one that she had never heard before.
Yeah.
Because it was buried in there pretty deep. You know what I mean?
I always kind of try to bury those.
Yeah.
Stash them away a little bit. Kind of hide them under a little fat, you know, that way takes a little bit to get down to them. You know what I mean?
Well, but look, we need healing from those things, man.
Like,
I need that to go away. I don't need to carry that because that's not the character of the man of who I want to be. That's not the design of who I was designed to be, or that I believe I was designed to be, and that's not who I want to be, right? Now, the reason people were saying you should do this, you should do that, is because they know the world. Yeah. I do too. Look, everybody fully anticipates that I'm about to get screwed.
Yeah.
They're probably right.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm trying to do? And what I hope if anybody who's hearing me right now would understand, I'm not of this world.
Yeah.
I'm just in it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to trust that God's going to, he's got his hands on it and the right things are going to happen. And if it means that I get screwed by the insurance company and I don't get Jack back, it means I'm going to get this crazy deal on a car that I shouldn't get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just believe that. I'm going to stand on that. And that's the end of that topic.
That's a very interesting way of looking at it, too. I mean, I think that's the positive reinforcement or reassurance, right, that you're kind of letting the audience in on a little tidbit of that. You're going to put yourself in the positive reassurance.
I know what this world looks like. Yeah. I said it in this podcast. It sucks.
Yeah.
It's ugly. It's dirty. It's messy. But, man, there's a lot of good in it.
There is, but, man,
I get
tired. Do we not live in a twisted, perverted time?
We do.
I mean, you, like, these things that we carry in our pockets that we make phone calls on, mm-hmm, have access, yeah, to so much explicit. Woo! And I'm not just talking adult related content. I'm talking you can
anything.
Oh, dude.
Anything. If you want to see it,
You can find it. And there's kids, and my kid's 11 years old and he's on his second phone already. You know what I mean? I'm just like, dude, this kid, like, I can't even imagine having access to all that when I was their age.
Yeah.
I mean, my idea of fun was we would go sneak out. We'd sneak out. We'd go try to make it to Toot and Totem and get ice cream before we got caught. You know what I mean?
Dude. Hey, that's young, right? As a teenager,
dude. Skip school and... I remember my mom didn't even know the reason why, and God bless you, mom. She's going to hear this and she's going to laugh. The only reason she even found out, dude, I'm telling you this was the greatest adventure we had as a group. Like, it was me and like three of my other buddies, dude. And we decided we were going to skip school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We rode our bikes to Westgate Mall. From 24th and Grand.
Oh, that's a heck of a ride right there, big guy.
We got there about 11:30. Guess what happened as soon as we walked in?
Oh, truant officer.
Come and picked us up.
Oh, yeah. Oh man.
Come and got us.
Dang, dude.
Yeah, I called in for myself. Oh, man. And what's even funnier is I called in acting like my mom.
You silly.
And... they didn't even, it passed with flying, like, it passed the test. They didn't second that at all. They did not second guess that. Now, when they come hauling me up to the front of the school in the cop car.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, who called in for you? I said, I did. Because they was immediately, they're like, who called in for you? I was like, I did.
Yeah.
They're like, no way. I was like, yes, I called in.
Yeah.
Well, so they were like, ISS or SWATs?
SWATs all day, baby.
Yeah, because they don't call your parents when you get SWATs.
No, sir.
So I was like, SWATs. And she's like, 3 SWATs a day for 10 days.
Ooh, God.
And so I asked her, and this was Miss Bowser. And if anybody listening to this knows, we all know how Miss Bowser was. She two-handed pigeon hopped. Dude, man, I'm telling you, this chick would light you on fire. So I asked her, I said, can I do 3 days of 10 instead? I don't want to come for 10 freaking days.
No kidding, right?
3 SWATs, who cares? So yeah. I was like, let me do 3 days of 10. She's like, let's see if you can make it through 10 today first. I made it through 10.
That's a challenge.
But, dude, it hurt. And so all my other buddies, well, my buddy Steve, he kind of halfway lived with me, halfway didn't.
Yeah.
He had a very kind of screwed up youth. Had some very bad male figures in his life at that time.
Right.
He was kind of, and he stayed with us all the time. His mom didn't care. I mean, his mom really didn't give two craps if he skipped or not, so that wasn't a big deal.
Right.
But, like, my buddy Andrew, my buddy Jackie, like, all of them, they got caught because they chose ISS. So, before they even got out of school that day, their parents knew, like, I remember walking. Well, I'm walking home. Andrew's walking beside me, and Andrew's dad comes screeching up, "Get in the car!" He's freaking out, yelling at him, and everything. I'm like, "Oh crap!" And he already knew. And he's like, "Were you with him?" And I was like, "Mm-mm." No, like, don't go. You ain't going to tell my mom, dude. I made it through the whole school year. I didn't get busted till the next summer, and that's because my freaking stupid friend was using the phone in my stepsister's bedroom, and my mom was in my stepsister's bathroom using the bathroom, and this dude is using the phone, or maybe, I think that's how it went down.
She overheard
the conversation. My mom heard him talking about it. It was like, yeah, this dude never even got caught, blah, 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 blah.
Oh. Thanks a lot, jerk.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, but. Well.
Yeah. That's gotta love it.
Yeah, that's enough of that crap.
Man. Dude, I skipped so much school in sophomore year. I think I had 26 days in attendance in the first semester that I was actually at school.
Oh, yeah, no.
I skipped that a lot of school. I skipped on my court date. I had a court date. They were going to, you know, find my mom and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I skipped school that day, too.
They hit my mom with that, too, and I guess ultimately what they come to the conclusion was I was no longer allowed to attend an AISD school.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, so I went to River Road.
Ooh, River boy. Road?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a kid that spent his whole life, Travis Middle School, Whittier Elementary School, I mean, PD, spent his whole life in that realm, gets sent to the most redneck school. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
Yeah, it was a culture shock, dude. I'm telling you.
For sure. I guarantee it. I mean, you know, shoot, man, I caused so much trouble. I remember one of the things that we used to love to do, sneaking out of the house was a big one, you know. A good friend of mine that I've known forever, we're still friends. He called me right before we started today. He used to live like, I grew up on West 10th off of Western. Pretty much grew up over there. Lived a few other places, but he lived across Western by Sam Houston Park on a street called Cheyenne. He used to sneak out of his house, go to his house. We'd go to spend the night at his house. We'd sneak out of his house, come back to my house. Like, we did that all the time.
Yeah.
But there were other times, too, man, where me and a couple of buddies would sneak out. We used to steal street signs in the middle of the night. And oh, my goodness, one time, I don't want to implicate myself too much, but we stole the entire pole and all off of the corner, off of a street corner across the street from our high school, and walked it about 3 miles across town in the middle of the night carrying this pole. It had the concrete still on the pole. We were taking turns throwing it over our shoulders and walking down the streets, dude. Oh my goodness, I kid you not. I remember the name of the street and all that, but I'm not going to say it.
So me and a buddy of mine, we used to go partying in the middle of the night. That was what we did too. And my whole wall in my house, he lived with me too. This was after, I mean, I was probably 18, maybe 19.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize that it was such a major thing if you stole a railroad crossing sign.
Holy smokes. No, I didn't know that either.
I guess that's like a really big deal. Well, we took one down the street from our house.
Oh Lord.
And well, I guess that one wasn't really down the street from our house. It was down a little further. And we took one and stop signs. Every time someone would put up a new sign, or if the sign looked new, we would take it. Well, I bet
they got so irritated.
Well, so anyway, long story short, these guys were trying to break into my house, and not while I was there. Huh. They were like breaking the glass, trying to unlock my windows and stuff. And I'm doing my due diligence, dude. I'm swinging a little Amarillo Dillas bat that I have wrapped in electrical tape, like, so it's not, it's like unbreakable.
Yeah.
It's like 2 foot long.
Yeah.
I'm swinging that like a freaking lumberjack, dude, at people's fingers and at whatever, trying to keep them out. I'm like, yeah, dude, what the, like, you know, cause I'm freaking out. They're kicking my front door and I'm laughing because my front door was so solid. Like, you could probably hit it with a truck and not get in.
Oh, wow.
But if they would have went around to the back, the wind would blow sometimes and that door would fall in. Oh. You know what I mean? But they were breaking the glass. They were trying to get in. I'm just crushing fingers. Or I'm doing nothing. I mean, I don't know if they just got irritated and they left, or if maybe they were worried someone was calling the cops. But I couldn't even get to my phone. I was running back and forth in all the rooms in front of the house trying to hit fingers, keep them out of my house.
Yeah.
When they drove off, I called the cops.
Yeah.
Well, when the cops come in, that's what they see.
Is your railroad crossing sign?
All my signs, all my glory, all the hoodlum, hood rat crap that I'd done, all plastered on the wall. And they're all looking around and like making notes.
Huh.
And I was all, because I was trying to talk to them and they weren't really talking to me. And I was like, hey.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, hey, where'd you get all these? I was like, buddy gave them to me.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. he's all like, you know, this is illegal. Right. This is illegal. I was like, no, I didn't. As a matter of fact, a buddy of mine gave them to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my statement was really short. I was really nice and quick to get them out of the house. Go on about your merry way. I won't waste no more of your time. I'll deal with the intruders next time they come back, you know.
I'll have something a little more powerful than this little six-inch bat.
Yeah, it was crazy, dude.
Yeah. I never got caught for most of the stupid stuff I did, but...
I got caught doing almost everything.
Really?
Dude, man.
You're just not a good criminal, I guess.
No, well, I think I'm kidding. I think my biggest problem is... the people that I commit these crimes with are...
Amen, man.
You know, like, I had a buddy in high school. We thought it was going to be really cool to go... we were going to go fill this... It was like Halloween or something. We were going to go fill her yard up with construction stuff. Barricades. Cones and all this stuff, like sandbags and all this stuff. Well... he jumps on the trunk of my car. He's got this big old barricade. And he's like, man... It wouldn't fit in my car, obviously. He was like, man, I'm going to get on the trunk.
He's just going to hold it while you're hauling butt.
He's like, just drive me up there. We'll throw it in there. I was like, okay, cool, you know?
Yeah.
I turn around. make a U-turn and take off. He slides off my trunk, dude, hits his head on the road. He's knocked out in the middle of freaking River Road.
Oh, no.
In the middle of the street, dude. And so I immediately freak out. He's out there doing the twitch and everything, and... I circle back and I'm like, man, dude, I just killed one of my best friends. I'm trying to load him in the car. There's people stopping in the middle of the road, like, what's going on? I was like, he fell out of my door. I'm trying to tell everybody all this stupid stuff. And as I'm trying to get him in the car, I drop him and he hits his head again. It's like, it's the most terrible thing ever. Well, anyways, like, these people called the ambulance, like, I'm still trying to get him in the car. Ambulance comes rolling up. I have my arms under his armpits and he's like hanging off my stomach. You know, he's still out cold. Here comes the ambulance. I'm like, crap. You know, of course we were underage. We'd been out drinking, doing all that kind of crazy crap. And they're like, well, what happened? I said, well, I turned the corner right here and my door opened and he fell out. And they're like, uh-huh. He don't have no road rash. I was like, landed just right, I guess. well, his clothes ain't even dirty. I was like, man, I don't know. It landed just right, I guess. I don't know. He, so the paramedics are over there, like, shutting my door, jiggling my door and stuff. And he's like, you might want to get your car checked. I was like, thank you.
I'm out. Yeah.
Put him in a car and we drive off. And then I got to go explain to his mom what's going on.
Can we file that under knowledge earned is better than knowledge given? Dude,
that's another topic, too, that we've been talking about touching on. Knowledge
this is
earned.
Your topic, so I want you to expound on this big.
Dude, because man, knowledge earned takes you way further in life than knowledge taught, given.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, when you learn it from a self-inflicting way, it's going to take you miles further than if someone tells you.
Yeah.
Now, me and you talked about it, you know, like when you got a fork as a kid, moms are, if you get close to an outlet, yeah. Mom's like, oh, no, 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 no. Dad's like, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Hold on. No, wait.
Ain't going to learn something today. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah, that's the last time you'll do that, huh?
Yes, sir.
That was one of them times, you know, like we realized, like, hey, that wasn't cool.
Yeah. So there's a comedian that has a joke about that. It's old, and I don't know why, if any way, reason he would ever hear this, but, you know, I don't want to plagiarize him, but Christopher Titus actually wrote a bit about sticking the finger in the light socket, and the dad's like, no, wait.
Yeah.
And, but it's so applicable. And, you know, I'm not going to say that all moms are, my mom didn't, well, she taught me, but she really let me learn the hard way.
My mom did too. My mom did too. Thank God. Because you look at my mom was that one that you didn't call her to get you out of jail. You just called her to let her know you were in jail.
Right.
And that was the only number I could remember.
Yeah, of course.
So I always called her. Like, hey. Right. Yeah, like, I know, yeah, look, I know you're not going to come get me, but this is where I'm at.
Just so you know.
Just try to keep it down. Don't let nobody know, you know.
Right.
And my mom was a gangster like that. She would totally do her part, but she always let me.
You know, it's a crazy thing. Like, again, we've talked a little bit about how we want these things to kind of come out organically rather than, look, if people want more details, we'll give them details if they ask questions. But, like, my relationship with my mom, one thing I learned through life is that, you know, we all want freedom, right, especially as young people. Like, we want the freedom to do what we think we want to do.
What we want, no, not what's right.
Yeah. Well, you don't
want. It's a big difference when you're young.
You don't want the consequences, right?
Yeah.
But my mom had no shame in letting me do whatever. And I don't know if that came from a place of just not knowing what else to do or what. Dude, she would provide me with drugs and alcohol. You know, she'd be like, here. I don't know if that was just to shut me up or if it's because she was so blasted out of her mind she couldn't deal with me or didn't want to deal with me or whatever. I don't know. I don't know that for sure. That would be a question for her. And you know, I want to be very careful that people understand, like, I'm not bashing her while I'm saying these things. I'm just telling you the truth. Like, this is the way it was. Ultimately, I ended up not having a lot of respect for her as I grew up.
Yeah.
Because she taught me things, but in weird ways, and really just kind of let me learn the hard way. And I'm not going to say that looking back, I don't appreciate that, because I do, because knowledge earned is way better than knowledge given. But at the same time, sometimes I don't feel like she tried to protect me from a lot of that stuff, which is what a parent should do in some ways.
There's a lot of ways that you can learn and have your future salvaged.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, and this statement, I hope it's not misconstrued in the wrong way or like I'm talking about a certain majority of people or whatever, but in the lower income kind of poverty area, neighborhoods, you know, stuff like that, where the drug problem and the crime rate are like really high. A lot of those kids, there's nothing being taught at all.
Yeah.
And it destroys any future that they would have. Like they know nothing.
Well, there's things being taught, but it's not anything it's that's going to help. Yeah,
they know nothing of being casual or of being civilized. Or
right.
There's...
You know, and again, I think that's, like you said, like, it's not, I'm not saying anything to be negative about their situation. It's sad and it's unfair, and I wish it weren't a part of it, but it is. It's just very unfortunate because people, look, I talked about, I didn't even graduate high school, whatever, I'm not that smart. I have some college education, and I have a sociology minor. And
you're pretty smart.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
I'll give you that one. You are pretty smart.
I learned in a sociology, economics type situation that, you know, the likelihood that you're going to traverse out of the class that you were born into is very unlikely.
Yeah.
It's very unlikely. Yep. There are rare occasions where it happens. But the truth of the matter is if you're born in poverty, you may step a slightly above it, but you're going to stay there.
Yeah. It's comfortable.
I don't know what it is. It's sad.
I guarantee you that's what it is. It's something that you're used to. It's comfort. I mean,
God, why are we so used to? Why do we want to stay in our pain?
Well, and here's the other part of that that's so crazy to me is like that. Like, you can take somebody that has lived in poverty their whole life, and you can give them, let's say, give them $10,000.
Yeah.
Give them $10,000. They're going to spend it on, like, asinine things. Just they're going to make really idiotic purchases.
Yeah.
You give that to a person that is, I don't know, like, middle class, whatever. I mean, not necessarily, but you give that to somebody, like, I think this is going to be a better example. You give that same amount of money to, and I use this term because these are the people that I see that are the most grateful for gifts.
Yeah.
Hispanic people.
Yeah.
Give that to a Hispanic man that has a family to take care of and watch him turn that $10,000 into a business.
Yeah. Watch him do something with it.
It may be roofing or something like that. I mean, but they don't just go and buy crap.
Whatever, frivolous things.
Yeah. It's like, oh, man, I can go buy roofing material. I can roof this house.
Yeah.
Like, just the focus, the sheer determination.
To do something with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, dude. Well,
I have a ton of respect for the Hispanic culture. I grew up with a lot of them.
Not only can they party like there's no tomorrow, them guys can, like, they do the jobs that nobody wants to do.
Yep. And they do it better than anybody else.
Yeah, too. Better than anybody.
Yeah. I've seen that play out over and over again in my life. It's interesting that I pulled up this scripture. It's been sitting on the screen for a while now, and it was something I was going to talk about earlier, but where we're at has nothing to – that's what I was going to read. Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 8, is about your mindset, right?
Yeah.
But what you're talking about, it's interesting that in the same section of Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, this is Paul talking, and he says, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full or an empty stomach.
With plenty or little.
Or little. Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I just find it interesting that the conversation led to that, talking about, you know, if you were to take a lump sum of money and hand it to somebody who'd never had money, look, it happens.
It happens. The lottery.
Oh, my goodness. The lottery. You want to know athletes?
Yes.
Look, they take now with NIL money in collegiate football or collegiate sports.
They're going to start screwing up faster is what's going to happen.
Look at a guy like Henry Ruggs,
the
third, right, who was drafted out of Alabama, great wide receiver.
Look at Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel's another one. You know, these guys Johnny Manziel grew up with money, so he was just affluent. You know, he was spoiled. But Henry Ruggs had nothing. He came from inner city. Look, what we would call poor.
Yeah.
Very poor. barely made it, but, you know, had somebody who pushed him. He had a talent. He was able to capitalize on it and did something really, really stupid. Yeah. Okay. He did. I'm not taking, I understand that he did something stupid, but dang, man, he had no idea how to handle it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That comes from that. That's what I mean when I say that there has to be some kind of guidance, some kind of knowledge taught, because that is those are the kind of people that they make these decisions, because they've never had the proper guidance, or they don't know how to deal with some of the things that come into their life, and they make decisions that totally take away their future.
You like, go from
he has no future.
You have to go from a kid who's 21 years old, maybe 22 years old.
He was a superstar.
He was a superstar in the making. He had nothing coming up, man. No. He barely had meals at dinner, you know what I'm saying, yeah. Or lunch and all that stuff. Now has millions of dollars. Millions. And that's not even, I mean, yeah. You know, B with a billion, billion with a B is, that's a terrifying number, but millions of dollars to you and me is a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how much that is to somebody who never had anything.
Never had anything, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he had no clue how to deal with it. He had no clue how to handle it. You know what he did? He went and bought a vehicle that he had no business owning.
Yeah.
And he killed somebody because he was under the influence and done something really stupid.
And what did he hit her, like 100 and something 100 miles an some, hour? And...
In my dream car, a Corvette.
Yeah.
You know, killed her and a dog.
Yeah. Wasn't it the newer body style too?
Yes.
The mid-engine.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Vegas. He survived. Yeah. And you know what? I know he has to live with that every day, and I have no judgment towards him, man. Mistakes happen.
Yeah.
But you know what? You could take the same thing and go in the opposite direction. Go to, I don't know, the Kardashians, who are wealthy beyond belief.
They're probably got it. That family's got to be
billions, billions.
They
billions.
Have to be close.
Billions.
I mean, that'd be for almost a decade, dude. You could not do anything without turning on the TV and seeing one of them.
They're still out there.
Oh yeah.
Everywhere you turn, they're out there, and it's huge business. And you know,
yeah. And you
we
know
can
how
talk about why.
It all, yeah, that's the crazy thing is how it got started.
Because OJ's. OJ's attorney was a Kardashian.
Well, but that
started with a sex tape.
Yeah. Well, it all started by one of the parents promoting their daughter getting nailed. You know, yeah. I mean, like, shame
good job.
On you. Yeah, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. But anyway.
I probably should not have said that because I could see that coming out really.
It might, but did you say anything that was a lie? Probably not. But take all their money away.
That was a personal thought too.
I get it. You're right. You know what? Shame on us for you know, I'm not trying to shame people. It's not about that, obviously, yeah. But I'm just saying, think about what would happen to them if they woke up tomorrow and they were like you and me.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and we're not doing bad. We're not great. Like, I still worry about where some money's going to come from.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because we're
But
we're normal people.
I mean, there's food on the table every day. Yeah. The bills are paid. I'm not worried about people
coming
to take my
car. Your head.
I've got everything I need, right?
Yeah. Everybody in your immediate family's healthy.
And let them switch roles with me. You know what I mean? I wouldn't know how to handle what they've got either.
Oh, I know exactly what I would do.
All the wrong things is what I would do.
No. I'm about to change some folks' lives.
I would do that too.
I would. There's a handful of great people out there that I think one small blessing would really kind of kickstart their life in the right direction, and that's kind of what I would aim for if I was blessed like how they are. I mean, you know, that's clearly
what you think
hypothetical situation. But
the whole point of the conversation that got started here was about lessons learned, you know, knowledge earned. And we tied this scripture in because we were talking about how Paul learned how to, He knew how to live life with everything or with nothing, yeah. Right? We came up with two separate ideas, right? Somebody like a Henry Ruggs, who had never had anything, now all of a sudden having everything,
yeah.
And not knowing how to live with it, and going the opposite direction and saying, "What would happen? Look, well, it happened to Mike Tyson. He had everything,
bro,
and then nothing.
That dude is
he's savage. I love that guy.
You know, and you go on and you listen to how he talks, and when he talks about how he was never happier than the day that he went broke.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Dude, it is nuts.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't see that.
But, dude, that dude is, I mean, he's on to something. He's a freaking genius, dude. He is on to something.
He's legit and he's real. He's just trying to be who he is.
Yeah.
You know, he now has the freedom to be something that he never had the freedom to be before.
Yeah.
Right, which is who he is, instead of being the fighter. And he even talked about, I'm scared of that man. I'm scared of being that man.
He was, man, you can't take nothing from him, though. I think.
I still wouldn't want to fight that fool.
Pound for pound, dude, I don't see how you can say there was ever a better heavyweight in our era. Now,
yes. Oh, man. I
know Muhammad Ali was good.
Ali had a chin. Yeah. He had a chin. He could take it. He stood up against George Foreman, man, and George Foreman, at the time, a young man was a gorilla.
Yeah.
He knocked your head off, and he withstood it. So, yeah, I get that. But Mike Tyson, for his size, his strength, and
he was a monster, dude.
Oh, my gosh. I would never want to stand across
from him. And then have you watched the tapes of him training?
Today?
Like, yo, my God, dude.
No, sir.
The dude is in in his da-dun-da-duns, and he's like, and even his trainer's scared.
Yeah, he's like, dude.
I mean, this guy, bro.
No, he's a machine.
Yeah. Oh.
But you know what? You want to talk about somebody who's earned a lot of knowledge. You know what I mean? He lost a lot. He gained a lot. He didn't have a great life coming up. You know, this conversation has been very interesting. It's gone a lot of different places, but it's just, you know, I have a ton of respect for the guy. So as a kid, shoot, man, when did he go to prison the first time? The other time.
Well, that was okay.
That was like 90.
I think it was like 9. I want to say like 92, 91, 92.
Somewhere in that ish era. But before he went, dude, he was the most dominant fighter anybody had ever seen.
You could not. I mean, I remember my parents, my mom. We had the cable box, so we had the turn dial TV.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we had the cable box where he went up there and he pushed the button.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Like,
I remember.
Like click, and it stayed down.
Yes, sir.
And we would get pay per view. My mom, that was like, okay, we were going to eat ramen noodles and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but we were going to watch the Tyson fight. You know what I mean? And I remember her husband getting so mad. I don't know if it was like a Michael Spinks or one of those fights. It was like 30 seconds.
Yes.
It was like insanely short.
37 seconds or something.
It was like, it was ridiculous. Well, it just so happens that he had to pee and then go get another beer. And when he came back, the fight was already over.
Well, the thing about them fights, like, you know, that was the first time I ever remember hearing about people being so mad about pay-per-view, right? About it being a 40-second fight. And it's like, why? I paid $40 for that. $40. Now it's $99 for a fight.
Yeah, and they're like every weekend.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Back then, it was like once every 3 or 4 months.
Yeah,
you know?
It wasn't very common. But yeah. Anyhow, yeah, I remember that. I remember, I think he did that more than once. But
yeah, that was the first time I'd ever seen. He was an aggressor. My mom's ex-husband was an aggressor. He was that dude. I mean, he tried to fight a fence post if you could convince him that it was saying something to him.
Yeah,
and he was just an aggressor. That was the first time I'd ever seen him start trying to break things.
Yeah,
with. Everybody in the room was quiet. Like, usually it takes someone to say something to him and he gets triggered, and then, you know, he's always trying to beat up on something.
Yeah.
But no one said anything.
Yeah.
He just come out of the bathroom and the fight was over, and immediately, like, that's how mad he was. I was like, calm down, dude. Like,
like, take it easy, Poncho. Yeah, it's all right.
Don't break our big RCA console TV, you know?
Like, you couldn't break that thing if you wanted to.
Yeah, no, you'd have to shoot it with a shotgun. Then I'd still be worried about some kickback, you know?
Maybe some Strode
come back to you.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah, it was. Man, but those are times, like, dude, just those were the good old days.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's wild to the to us that that's the good old days, you know. And then you go to talk to somebody like my dad, and
I always love talking, especially to your dad. Yeah. But I always love talking to my elders because their stories.
Yeah.
Like, I think we have cool stories.
Oh, and we do. We're getting to be that person. Yeah.
And I got some friends that they're always like, they always say it like, you know, Jason and his stories. Because, dude, some of them are just like, just crazy. But that I was also living in a crazy time in my life.
But you earned all of that.
But when you sit and you listen to some elders talk, and they talk about things that are just like totally out of your realm. Like you can kind of get with it. Like you kind of get it, but right. It's totally out of your realm. Like they talk about, you know, like this is a big one. And I remember doing this too.
Right.
But my dad made the comment one time about how he remembers when you didn't call a person, you called a place looking for a person.
Right.
And I remember doing that. I remember once, you know, my mom left me at home and she went to, I think, Kmart. And I remember calling Kmart because there was something that I needed her to get me.
You right. Know, or
I
wanted.
Yeah, something I wanted. And I remember calling Kmart, you know, and then announcing it on the speaker and everything. And my mom never answered it. Never. Not once. I called Kmart probably 10 times.
That was one of those.
Yeah. My mom was like, no. You want something, you should have been here with me.
John Traylor, you have a call. Please come to the front desk. John Traylor to the front desk.
I remember calling her work and stuff like that. And
yeah.
That don't happen no more.
Right. But it's just, to me, I it just kind of rings true about the perspective thing, right? So I have a perspective. You and I have a perspective that's pretty similar because we have similar types of backgrounds. We relate really well and all those kinds of things. But you go talk to my dad about what the good old days means to him, and he's going to talk to you about the 50s and the early 60s and being on the farm with my great-grandfather and grandmother and all that kind of stuff. And he misses the country and all, you know, the simple things and the simple life and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's interesting because for whatever reason, God blessed me with the talent to understand that perspective means something. Yeah. And just because I see it a certain type of way doesn't mean that that's the only way to see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the thing about all of your stories, all of my stories, all of anybody who's listening stories is that they have a purpose, right? Yeah. And it's interesting that we're going this direction because I had no plan of going here, but every one of your stories can be called your testimony.
Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And your testimony is just your story.
Yeah.
And it's really about what God has brought you through, right? Go ahead. You got something to say. I see it on your face.
Well... you know, you're talking about testimony and everything. our stories. My testimony and my story, I feel like aligned with yours so much, that's how this got kickstarted.
You know, no lies told there.
You know what I mean?
That's 100%.
And so as you were telling that, I was kind of going through this revelation of how that actually is so impactful because... It wasn't until we actually sat down and talked to each other, you know, of course, I think the first time that me and you had actually really sat down and had like a really good hangout. I want to say it was like one of the Christmas parties at my house.
Yeah.
I think y'all actually stayed the night.
Yeah.
That Christmas party.
Yeah.
And me and you stayed up and partied all night together.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I remember.
Yeah. We had a great time.
Yeah.
But that it was at that point that I realized that we did have so much in common.
Right. You start to recognize that there's common ground.
Yeah.
Right. Look, our stories are not the same.
No. They're actually, in all honesty, polar opposite.
They're very different. Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? But they're so eerily similar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And here we are.
Yeah. And I think that is the biggest thing. That's the biggest part of how this got started was the implications on how close our stories actually are.
Right. Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And so, you know, I for whatever reason, I think that this is something that has to be said, because all of the things that we're talking about in our stories and our testimony and our history, not all of it, most of it is not pretty. Most of it's not good, right? It doesn't sound good.
90% of it.
Yeah, it sounds pretty awful, honestly. And a lot of people are probably listening going, cheese and rice, man. Like, yeah. I don't want no part of any of that.
Hey, right? But what they don't realize is we've come a long way if we're saying cheese and rice.
Or
crap, or the alter ego to fornicate. I mean, we say other things besides the four-letter words that we're really thinking. Like, yes, we do.
God has placed a filter in there for somehow or some way.
Yeah, out of the blue, too. Cause
so, and interestingly enough, you mentioned a revelation, right? And I don't generally traverse to revelations because people get scared of revelations, but...
I think as scary as it is, as scary as it sounds to everybody, what it is, it's the promise to a brighter coming.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a promise to a future, man. That's eternal.
This right here is, this is about the size of our life right here. I'm pointing at a snuff can too.
It's there, a flash in a pan.
Yeah. You're running around in this like crazy.
Yep.
Until it's all over. This is where life happens.
That's right. So I said all of that part about the testimony to get to this scripture, which, you know, again, revelation being what it is, some people get scared of it. They're looking for the win. Win is the end. I say, who cares? It comes when it comes. I'm ready when it comes, right?
Just live your, I mean, if you're walking, what am I looking for here? We talk about this all the time.
And you know,
love is patient, love is kind. If you're walking in that way,
if you're loving others,
if you're walking in that, Jason is patient, Jason is kind, Jason is loving, Jason is understanding, Jason's not boastful. If you're walking in that way, when revelations come, it ain't gonna matter. You're gonna go in the rapture. You're there. You're saved.
Right.
You're just gonna one day be like, what the heck is going on up here? And you're gonna see all kinds of crazy stuff going on down here, and be glad you're not here. I mean,
that's right. And to give people encouragement for the struggle, right? We hearken back to Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 3. We rejoice too. We're joyous too. We run into problems and trials, and here's why: it's part of the story.
Yeah.
Right. Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 10. I'm going to read the whole section from 10 through 12. This is a vision or a voice that John has heard. It said, I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has come at last, salvation and power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. Who is that, you think?
Satan.
Here's where it's important. Here's what ties in what I was talking about. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and by their testimony.
Yep, that's their stories.
And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time.
He knows he's already defeated.
It's already done. Yeah. But the key words to me, the blood of the Lamb.
And testimony.
And their testimony. Our testimony, our stories, our BS.
Yeah.
Along with the blood of Jesus is what conquers the enemy. You know what I'm saying?
So while we're on that kind of my mom sent me, and I've talked to you about this. My mom sent me a message. I believe she sent it to my wife too. My mom is like the king of Bible verses, queen of Bible verses.
Yeah,
she's like,
she's on top of the world. Yeah. To say that,
you know how I fire random TikToks at you? She fires Bible verses at me.
Gotcha.
And they're always good. But two key things really kind of stuck out, and me and you went over this last night.
Yes, sir.
The one that she most recently sent, And it's long. I'm just going to touch on the key points.
Okay.
Anchored. What does that mean for you?
It kind of reminds me of the word grounded, being stable. It reminds me of there's a story about when the winds and the waves come, right? If you build your house on shifting sand, then it'll tumble. But if you build your house on the rock, on the foundation of Jesus, then it will stand even in the wind and the waves.
Yeah, that's pretty freaking close to what I had.
We're on the same page, baby.
Without an anchor, there's nothing to hold you in place.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. And what's your anchor?
Here it is. You can resist drifting by anchoring yourself to the truth, the words that come from God himself.
I mean, I don't know that you can say it any simpler.
Bro.
Simpler.
As soon as I got it, it was like,
okay, thanks, Mom.
Like, keynotes here. Like,
well, and I have
Mom. You made the episode.
You made the episode.
Bumper sticker wisdom.
I'm sure she'll make plenty more because that's
she
where
always,
it comes
she,
from.
But she always does. I mean, it's my mom and my wife.
Yeah, mine too, bro.
Bro, I can't tell you how many times I've had to tell my wife I don't need another mother. But I do. You know?
Well, you know, and hey, you and I are different in that one regard because I my mother's no longer with us.
I know.
So, and I'm not saying that as a way to be negative or anything like that. But, you know, quite honestly, man, we need that powerful woman figure in our lives. As men, you know, say what you want.
Yeah.
There's equal role. We're equally responsible for our roles in our relationships, right? And their strength is our strength, and our strength is their strength. That's a good relationship, right? Yeah. And it's not always perfect. It's not always great, you know. But dang, man, why would I want to choose anybody else? Because this person has look, my wife today. Okay, hold on. It's oddly enough the scripture of the day today, and it applies in multiple ways. But a friend is always loyal, right? Yep. And a brother is born to help in a time of need. You know, it's talking about men in that specific regard, and, you know, part of our motivation for this is we do want to motivate men to be brothers and to talk to each other and to help each other. But, bro, I got a wife that I know for a fact – regardless of the situation I'm in, she's going to fight and die with me.
Yeah,
I know it for a fact. I've seen it, actually. I think the day I fell deeply, madly in love with her, she stepped in front of a dude with a knife for me. And I'm like, what is wrong with this girl, man? She's crazy. I love her.
Yeah, isn't it funny how that always happens?
But that's the deal. Why? Look, dude, there's a lot of other things and a lot of distractions and a lot of, like, you talk about your phone and there's a lot of temptation out there, and it's easy to fall prey to. But I just remind myself, man, like, why would I waste all of this for that?
Yeah.
For one simple moment, because that's all it'll be.
Well, and when I say like I don't need another mother, that's not an insult to my wife. That is a
yeah.
It's actually a compliment.
Yeah.
Because. Although
smack yourself in the face with a microphone.
Although I am me and my mother's relate, or my mother and I's relationship are very, we talk on a daily basis.
Yeah.
My wife is the one I spend the most time with.
Yeah.
My wife is the one that knows me the most.
Yeah.
She knows, or she can look at me and tell me, like, she does it all the time too. She's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, nothing.
Yeah,
she's like, well, don't lie to me.
Yeah,
I'm not lying.
Yeah,
I'm just sitting here. She's like, Jason, like, what? Stop! I'm not doing anything. I'm just
good.
Sitting here. Yeah, leave me alone. She knows. She can pick me apart at the seams and point out anything that she thinks is wrong. And it's 10 times out of 10 right.
Right.
But she's also the one that is always, when I'm a handful. I'm hard. I'm sure I'm hard to be with. I'm not going to say I'm sure. I know I'm probably hard. I know I'm hard to be with.
Nuh-uh.
But
me too.
She sees all the good and all the chaos.
Right.
My life is chaos 24 all day, every day. I feel like my life is chaos. But she's always there just like, nope. Cleaning up the BS, you know, just.
You know, I find that interesting that, you know, it's like, it's the calm in the storm.
Yeah.
Right. Some, you said to me, I don't know if it's episode 2 or 3, when I was talking about some of my stuff about writing and stuff like that, how I'm shy to it. But you said to me, if you could see the way I see you.
Yeah.
It's the same principle here, right? If I could see myself the way God sees me.
Oh, yeah, and let me tell you how powerful you'd be. That's dangerous. That's dangerous.
It's definitely dangerous to the enemy.
It's dangerous to anybody that is not on your side.
Yeah.
When I say not on your side, I don't mean like in a humane way. Like I'm saying like spiritually.
Yeah.
Trying to stand in your way or that's dangerous.
Spiritually opposed.
Yeah, that's dangerous. That's dangerous.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. There's a scripture. Man, I wasn't going to go here. This is going to be a long episode, too. It's going.
That's all right.
Whatever. I don't care. I can't remember where it's at.
Well, I mean.
I probably didn't write it down. It's fine. It's in Philippians or Ephesians or one of those. But it's, and we just talked about it actually at church, too. But I've stood on this scripture before, too. And it says, God is, you are his masterpiece. Do you understand what that word means, masterpiece?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me that. Tell me what masterpiece is.
Leonardo da Vinci. I mean, just like it's different when it's him, because you're talking about the all-knowing, all-being, greatest creator ever.
Yeah. Created, you know, everything.
You can't look, I mean, you talk about artwork and everything. He created the people that created this artwork.
Right.
He created the people that created these pyramids.
And he designed you. And he designed you.
Yeah.
Me.
And we are his greatest masterpiece.
Right. And let me tell you something about an artist, right? From an artist's perspective, like I, you know, again, we talked about my writing, but and it's an artistic venture in some cases. Sometimes it's a little bit of an academic venture. Music is an artistic venture. As an artist, when you say, this is my masterpiece, that's from your eyes only.
Yeah.
You don't give two
about
what anybody else thinks. That's my masterpiece from my eyes. And when I hear God say, you are my masterpiece.
Yeah. It's pretty heavy, huh?
Bro, but let me tell you what that means. It means it's going to come with some pain. Because he's got to rub some rough edges off of you and all that. But you were made to be this thing that everybody else may see as something not so pretty. But he says, nah. You don't see him the way I see him.
You look at anything that gets reshaped. Anything.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. Anything that gets reshaped, it comes with violence.
Yes, sir.
Smash a beer can comes with violence.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Reshape some metal.
Yeah.
Comes with a lot of heat and a lot of violence.
Right. As iron sharpens iron.
I mean, dude, anything that gets reshaped, it comes with violence.
Yeah. Pain. Ugly.
Heat. Turmoil. Like
pressure.
Yeah.
Smack.
It's not, yeah, dude. You look at all these forgers and all this stuff. I mean, like people that make weaponry out of. Like, I watched a video not too long ago of a guy that he welded, like, 19 sticks of freaking rebar together and beat it into, like, a samurai sword.
And you're like, dude.
Dude, yeah. And I'm just like, what the, like.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
For one.
It's, like, in his oven for, like,
6 hours. Then he brings it out, pounds on it for like 10 minutes because then it's already too cold. Then he puts it back in his oven for like another 6 hours. And then I don't know how that works. I mean, if any of you guys know, let me know because I'm curious. But
yeah, I don't know how to move metal like that. But
he just welds like 8 pieces or 10 pieces of freaking rebar together and heats it up and start beating it into a sword. And I'm like,
And you know what it does? It gets beat into submission.
Yeah.
And that's, I kind of think that's part of the point is we have to submit. And so we have to give into it. And man, it goes right back to what we talked about engaging. Engagement is just like submission. When you engage with it, when you engage in this, when you walk it out, this thing works and it works really well. Yeah. It's changed my life, Jason. I'm looking at you across this table, bro. And like, I'm not sure that you and I would have liked each other a whole lot 20 years ago. I really don't know. Maybe. I don't know, because we're both kind of wild. But
The major differences between me and you, and this is the part that totally blows me away, we're the exact same people.
Yeah.
We are the exact same people.
Yeah.
Not like I'm not talking like layer for layer.
Yeah.
I'm talking about from the outside looking in, we're the same people.
Yeah.
But we're so different.
Yeah.
We're so different.
It's wild.
Like when you get nervous, you shut down. You go sit and you like, when you're done with people, you're done with people.
Yes, sir.
When I'm nervous and I'm done with people, I start trying to turn into a jester. You know what I mean? And it's weird. It's weird for me because it's like I'm seeking approval.
Yeah.
And that's a very slippery slope. I mean, and a lot of people, and I promise you, there's going to be people listening to this episode right here and they're going to be like, what?
Yeah.
But it comes so natural. That's how I handle being uncomfortable is I start a lot of the times what I do to myself is I make myself even more uncomfortable because I am going at it.
Yeah.
So aggressive. Like,
yeah. I would tell you, most people don't see you being uncomfortable. I just as an outsider, right, as an outside looking in person. Most people don't expect that you would actually, if you were, like, they would be surprised if they asked you that and you said, well, I act that way because I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. You see, but you know this about
me. Yeah, but I know it about you, right? And you know what?
I guarantee you can see the look on my face when I start doing that, and you know I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, I do.
We've been there. You know.
We've intimately learned each other's behaviors.
It's just, it's crazy to me that.
Every time I get to have a good time, I get in trouble because I get too comfortable. And when I get too comfortable, that's why I'm always uncomfortable.
Yeah. But here's the part about it, though. when we do all the stuff that me and you do, this goes to, I'm going to bring this up real quick because somebody's actually noticed, and he actually asked me about it today, and he was like, man, you guys have been spending a lot of time together. And it's my oldest son. It's my wife's oldest son. But he was like, man, you guys have been spending a lot of time together. And I was like, yeah, you know, we're really kind of trying to do this for the genuine feel of our podcast and everything. And he was like, man, you know, like, he's like, and I like John. I like John a lot. John's a cool dude.
Yeah.
I said, man, if you spend half the time I've spent with him here lately by yourself, you'll think he's even cooler.
Yeah.
He'll be even easier to hang out with. It'll be easier to talk to him. It just is. But that all boils down to how it is, like you said, when you're uncomfortable. Like, I've seen you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I've watched you uncomfortable. And it's you're picking up your backpack, you're walking out, you're done. Out of here. See ya. Bye. But I've also seen you comfortable.
Yeah.
Comfortable John's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable John's a lot of fun too. It's usually for a 15-20 second walk to the door. That's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But straightforward.
comfortable John's a lot of fun. I mean, and I talked about this earlier. The first time that me and you actually really, really hung out for one of our Christmas parties, I want to say we had the sing-off competition, too, for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer out in the garage. Do you remember? I want to say that this is what it was. And it was freaking hilarious. Everybody's fighting over the lyrics. At one point, I think me and you had to Google it. We were sitting at the, because me and you were sitting on the, me, you and my mom.
Yeah.
I believe.
I think you're right, man.
We were on the judges' table because everybody's like, y'all singing? Like, I ain't singing. I'll vote.
I'll definitely do the voting. I'm going to be Simon Cowell and I'm going to be a jerk.
But it was fun, man. It was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
But even after everybody left, man, me and you stayed up in the garage for quite a bit after that.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
What are we doing through? 330 packs almost. Me, yes. You, and our significant others.
We drank a lot of beer that day.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and what's crazy is it was dark when you got there. It was already dark.
Yeah.
We still went through 330 packs.
It's about sunlight when we were done. Yeah. Good times.
Man.
Man, we have traveled through... I wasn't sure about this one. I really wasn't. I wasn't sure how this was going to go, honestly. Yeah. I can feel the vibe when we started. From myself, too, that I wasn't sure. But I feel like this just starts to become easier and easier. Not easier and easier, but we're become more and more submissive to it. And I think it's awesome. I hope that some of the things that we've talked about today are going to be impactful to people. I think it will be. I don't think that there's any way it couldn't be. I can't wait to listen to the playback.
Yeah. I do have one thing that I would like to say before we close out. At no point in any part of this episode are we trying to talk down about anybody or trying to... No. Shame anybody. Sometimes, you know, as humans, we get caught up in the description of what things are, what people are, whatever. And that was not my intentions.
Sure.
You know,
mine either. And I think that that's absolutely fair that, you know, sometimes we kind of lose track of the purpose.
Yeah.
And we're just having a conversation.
Yeah. And this is not a shame fest. And
no, because if it is, I got plenty to be ashamed for.
A group of a million people can point their fingers at me, and they can all have a different reason for judging me at this point, I promise you.
Yeah, amen. I agree.
But I just wanted to clarify that so that any of the listeners don't think that this is something that we practice or do. We're not trying to badmouth anybody or...
Really, it comes
shame
from
anybody. We were just trying to break it down, trying to basically compare.
Yeah, and really trying to serve a point.
Yeah.
But if serving a point comes at the detriment of somebody else, it's probably not worth making that point too. Yeah. Right. I think that's what you're trying to say.
Basically,
I don't think a single wealthy, famous person would give a damn what we have to say. But if they do. I'm sorry.
I guarantee you. I'm almost positive that they're not going to hear this episode anyways. You know what I mean?
But still, the point is we really do want to come from a place of love, and that might not have been so
and
loving.
Genuine care. I mean, and that was probably not really the way to express that. And so for that, you know, that's I wanted to clarify that, and I apologize for. Kind of making it sound like I was attacking someone that is.
Yeah. Not, understood.
You know what I mean?
I agree. And I stand with you in that. And I agree with you in that 100%. We're going to close this episode out. Bible roulette. So what is this? I don't know what you call these.
It's a deck of Bible verses.
It's essentially a deck of Bible verses. Each card has a Bible verse on both sides. We're going to shuffle this thing up. I'm going to let you draw.
Oh, yeah.
Pick which side, and we'll discuss that verse
quickly. Can you
see me? Can
you
see me? Ooh, that one folded up. I don't know if that's the one or not. all right. Go ahead, buddy.
I already know.
You want that one? Okay. Whew. There's one on the back. Is it this one or that one?
What's this one?
All right.
It's this one for a lot of reasons.
Let's hear it. That's how God works.
if I read this and this doesn't impact you in any way, shape, or form, this, we can't be friends.
Okay. That's a powerful statement.
By grace, you have been saved. Through faith, and this is the gift of God.
Yeah.
Ephesians 2:8.
For by grace you have been saved. Yep. It is a gift from God. And what does that mean? It means it's not something that you can earn. So for
that's
all
a little
of,
different. That's a little different context as to what I'm used to seeing.
Yeah. But at the same time, when you think about most people are legalistic in nature, and they think, well, when they come to this path, it's all about what God wants to take away from me. It's all about doing things all the right way, all the time.
Yeah, and that price has already been paid. That's not what this is about.
This scripture right here pretty much sums it up pretty well, really well. It's, I don't know that you can say it any better.
That's why I had to stick with that one.
I had to. By grace you have been saved through faith, which requires faith.
Yeah.
And this is a gift of God. It's not something that you can earn. I can't earn it. So anything that you hear me say on here is
hard work ain't
going to
get you there.
Hard work ain't going to get you there.
It's a gift of God.
Dedication ain't going to get you there. All the cool acts and all the millions of dollars that you give or whatever, none of that's going to do it. It's your faith and it's the grace of God and the
strength
of God.
We're all the showboating and prayer in public.
You know what I mean? You know what's funny? Sorry, I flipped to the other side. It's a Romans.
Is it really?
It's Romans chapter 6.
Oh.
The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 23.
I think we should read both sides.
Apparently, that's what we're going to do because that's what happened.
That's what happened, Anyways, that's Bible roulette, ladies and gentlemen.
We plan to do that about once a month.
Thank you again for giving us the opportunity to speak to you, for listening to us, for blessing us with this opportunity to kind of do God's work and share any kind of wisdom that we may have to help you. I'm Jason.
And I'm John.
Man, this is awesome.
God bless.